Hello, freestyle listener. This is Chuck. It is March 31st, 2011, and I am enjoying a beautiful sunny afternoon. I just got done with working our ServiceNow booth at the HDI 2011 conference. This is the first time for that. And I just took a walk around the pool area at the Palazzo in sunny Las Vegas. You'd think it's a vacation, but actually it's been a lot of work. 18-hour days doing conference stuff. I've been here as a vendor slash exhibitor, working the expo floor in our company's booth, as a speaker slash presenter, doing a presentation yesterday morning on career management and relaying my story and facts and things that got me from fired to hired in 23 days. That was the name of my session. It was a 7:30 a.m. session that I was really kind of reluctant as to how many people were going to be there, because there were some other wonderful sessions alongside mine, including Kirk Wiesler, who does his More Better books. He talks about all the books he's been reading and what's been fascinating, and he always draws a good crowd. So I was happy to see about 40 people turn out, and a couple of people from our local area chapter, which was very nice to see friendly faces, as well as a lot of new faces, and they were rather energetic for 7:30 in the morning. Did a 45-minute presentation with, I didn't bore them with PowerPoints, of course. My PowerPoints were, there were about 10 of them with one-line phrase on them with a full-screen picture, most of which I took from EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association. So lots of planes, jumping out of parachutes, one picture of me from 2006 sitting in the Hong Kong airport in the cockpit of a 747, which I think some of you may have seen years ago on Flickr. And the session went well. Good feedback about that. Very enthused about that. People went, at one point, I got everybody up, had them talk to each other for 5 minutes just to introduce each other, exchange business cards if they had them, and start building their network. And then when they go home, they keep in touch with those network people so that if they see them again next year or can keep in touch during the year, learn and grow that relationship so that next year it's not, you look familiar. It's more, hey, Katie, how are you doing? How's that change management project? How are the kids? How was your trip to Australia? That kind of thing, which just comes in really, really handy when you find yourself in need of something, but also you want to be able to give, give, give. And I had a similar discussion with our regional director, Phil Gerbyshek, this morning about that kind of thing. So it was. It's been a very busy day as a speaker slash presenter. Also been here as a local chapter officer president. So building up credit for our Circle of Excellence program, which I'm proud to say we won the gold achievement, whereas previous years we've won silver. So by being a presenter, by manning the HDI booth, by being at this conference, we earned a certain amount of points for our chapter, which is always nice. And we came out of 365 points that we scored for growing membership, doing newsletters, having meetings, having board meetings, notes, all that kind of stuff, we scored 365 points. But we were only 10 points away from platinum, which I wish we could have gotten. It was really disappointing. But at the same token, it's inspired me to achieve just a little bit more next year to get platinum status. So that will be very exciting if we can pull that off. And had lots of access. They have these badges, you know, like you normally see at conferences, nerd necklaces, as some people call them. And they have little flags or tags, whatever you want to call them, stuck to the bottom. So I had one that said participant, which is your general access. I had one that said faculty for being a presenter, which got me into the faculty room for a hot lunch instead of a cold box lunch that the normal people would take in the mass lunch area just off the expo hall. Pardon me while I took a sip of water. It's very dry out here, chapped lips, but very nice outside. It was about 75, 80 degrees at the poolside. A lot of people out there. Not that I noticed any people of certain sexual persuasion, because my wife and daughter are here. Talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But the weather's just been gorgeous. So, let's see, faculty, next one down was exhibitor, which got me into the expo hall at off hours, so I could get in a little early, set up the computers, make sure they were all set up. We had, like I said, a nice new booth with our new corporate branding logo. Got a white and black company golf shirt so that I could be representing our company. And then at points I would put on another shirt and go do another thing. So I was literally, instead of changing hats, I was changing shirts depending on my representation. And some of you may know that I have an LED name badge that has scrolling messages. I've worn this to Dragon Con and previous conferences and things. It's just kind of an icebreaker introduction thing. And I was switching messages on that as well. When I was in the booth, it would say ServiceNow.com rocks. When I was wandering around as an HDI president representative, it would say HDI. I actually say hash HDI 2011 rocks. We were doing lots of Twitter under the hashtag HDI 2011. And then the final one down was local chapter president, which got me to local chapter president stuff. So as a speaker, I also saved our company or our chapter, I think it was like a $1,300 or $1,400 conference registration. So that came in handy as well. And then the company paid for the hotel and flight, which was very, very generous of them. And then Donna and Lisa just had to pay for their flight out here. And, of course, all the visits to the sites and things that they've been seeing during the day. I'm currently waiting for a tweet up that's coming up at 6 p.m. It's about 4:45 right now, Pacific time, on Thursday. Then after our tweet up at 6, from 7 to 10, we have our usual Thursday night HDI Big Bash party, and that'll be a whole lot of fun. I have to find the location. I've seen some signs, but I haven't actually been there as I wander around this afternoon and some of the other days. Donna and Lisa are currently at the Stratosphere. They've been out doing sightseeing while I've been doing booth duty and speaking and whatnot during the day. It was kind of fun. They came out on Tuesday. I came out Monday because Monday night I did some networking with friends and whatnot, and then Thursday morning I had to get right to chapter officer stuff. So it would have been rather difficult for me to try and fly out Tuesday morning. In fact, it would have been practically impossible to get here on time. So there was an extra night on the front end, and due to their flight scheduling and whatnot, they weren't able to get here until Tuesday, because we did book at different times and the flight availability was a bit of a mess. As a result, I'll be heading home Friday morning and they'll be coming home on a red-eye Friday night and be pretty bleary Saturday morning. But we'll all be back in the house at Saturday, with the exception of Julie, who's off in France having a good time. We got a status update. Haven't had a chance to read it yet because I want to read it with Donna when we're together tonight. We can get the update of what's been going on over there. We know that they arrived safely. And from the first line or two in the subject, they arrived in Avignon, which means they should be doing their host family thing today or tomorrow or Saturday, something like that. They went up to Normandy, had a really good time. Everybody was very well behaved. And I'm really, really jealous that she's on this trip. But yeah, having a good time in Vegas as well. Like I said, Donna and Lisa are both staying in my room, which sure makes hotel life nice. It beats the old Best Western in you know, by myself. We come home and there's not really much to do except watch the boob tube or check out things on Hulu or Netflix or whatever. So this is very nice. I just get up, go to work, but my work is downstairs about a 10-minute walk to the conference, the convention center stuff. And the morning they came in, Tuesday morning, or Tuesday afternoon, excuse me, I was between the local chapter officer stuff and heading down to pick them up when they came in. So I was watching their flight on a flight tracker, and I texted Lisa to say, ping me when you land, and she did. And so I knew when their taxi was going to get here. So I went down to meet them in the lobby of the Palazzo, which is next to the Venetian across from Treasure Island. If you're familiar with the Strip, if not, you can look those up. Beautiful hotel, beautiful hotel. The Venetian is kind of a Mediterranean theme, obviously, being Venetian. Palazzo is similar, very upscale, very, very nice, but yet very affordable. We got a conference rate of about $200 a night, $209, I think, on this thing. Beautiful suite, two queen beds, living room area, kind of two steps down. Dual TVs, a third in the bathroom. just gorgeous electric curtains that go up and down. And so I got in the elevator and making small talk with everybody I meet. I said, hey, how are you doing? How good? Are you out here on vacation? And the lady said, no, I'm here for the HDI conference. Because there are two, three, maybe even four other conferences going on. Some people had black neck bands for their badges. Some had green. Some had things that fastened with one clip. Some with two. It was interesting. I heard one was a pharmaceutical. The other was some kind of equipment or other, an industry awards or something, and marketing. And ours was all around IT service. So she's writing down. She says, I'm here for the HDI help desk event. And I said, oh, I don't see your badge. She says, well, I haven't registered yet. And I said, may I show you where it is? Because it's not that easy to find to get from our hotel in the Palazzo. You have to go first through the casino, then through kind of a shopping area, make a couple of left turns, go past the Blue Man Group to actually get through a corridor situation. And once you're in the Venetian, then the signs show up. But it's not, you can't just say, go like I just did. You lose it halfway. I was wandering around thinking I was lost. I was following the wrong people. And went into their expo hall the first day on Monday. And was like, where? Well, I don't recognize on any of the industry banners or signs or booths or anything. And then realized I was just a couple doors off, turned around and went and registered. So I'm walking her along and we're making conversation. Katrina from Virginia works at Northrop Grumman, da 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 da, and we're practically there. She said, "I really appreciate this escort service." And I said, "Shh, don't say escort service in Las Vegas." So we both got a good laugh out of that, and I showed her where the registration was, and hope to see her again sometime. Very nice lady, and nice to make another short acquaintance and hopefully turn that into a friendship. Then I just turned around and went back to the lobby, waited about 5 minutes, and there was Donna and Lisa pulling up in the cab. And they had somebody who wanted to talk to me as well. So it was a very bizarre. Some of the acquaintances, at one point I was in our company's booth, and this guy runs up to me. Chuck, how you doing? Good to see you. Chuck Tomasi turns around and runs away. I'm talking to a gentleman who had some questions about our product, and I'm answering him, and all of a sudden this guy jumps in, interrupts, shakes my hand, and runs away, and I just shook my head. I went, no clue. I have no clue who that was. He looked like Don Rickles, man. He was bald, short, big old smile on his face, kind of loud, and I'm like, I don't know who that is. He, fortunately, today, towards the end of the day, he came and introduced himself. I said, hey, pardon me, but refresh my memory, I'm drawing a blank. And he named off three or four different companies and whatnot. And we had spoken on the phone a number of times. We never met in person. So kudos to him for remembering the name of a prospect. I never actually did any business with him. But that's an amazing memory when you can keep track of that. Either that or I did something to really piss him off. And he remembered me for that reason. Who knows? It was just an odd situation. I had that happen a couple of times, and I just don't know who these people are, and sometimes I don't even have a chance to ask, how do we know each other again? Forgive me, I'm getting old. I had a birthday on Saturday, and I just... So that was kind of fun to be doing that. Last night, we did have some family time, because Monday night I was with... Donna and Lisa hadn't come in, so I was bumming around with people. Tuesday night... there was an appreciation of, like, a faculty appreciation dinner up on the 36th floor of the Venetian, and I was there for probably a whole 30 minutes. Had enough time to shake hands with a few of the early birds who came in. The others were waiting for a keynote or something or other to get done. And I had the phone rang. It was somebody from our booth, because the booth was running till 8 o'clock, I think, and our party was from 6 to 8, and I said, oh, pardon me, duty calls. One of the gentlemen from our company, Marty, called and said, we got somebody down here who's asking for you. Because I was there for demo and technical questions. They were sales and booth people, and they didn't know, some of them are pretty new, they didn't know all the answers to all the products, all the features of the product that we sell. And I went back down there, had a great old time. love talking to people. It makes time go by fast, and unfortunately, it went by so fast I didn't have a chance to get back up to the appreciation thing. So that was Tuesday night. After that, what did we do? We did something, and I was very, very tired. We just kind of hung out in the expo hall after they closed, which was nice having exhibitor access because there was free beer. It was like an open bar. So we sucked a few back. I got to know a few of my coworkers that I hadn't been introduced to before a little bit better. And some of our business partners were there. So it was nice just kind of mingling. Even some of the competitive products that go up against us, talking to them and knowing them as people. It was really fun. Got to be about 10 o'clock when we got out of there, and I was just dog tired. Met Donna and Lisa, found out how their first Tuesday went. It went very, very well. I said, Lisa, what do you think of your first impression of Vegas? She says, it's weird here. They went to Margaritaville, the Jimmy Buffett restaurant thing. And she says, I don't understand why anybody would want to get in a giant blender. And she said, Dad, I don't think I want to be a stripper either, which, as a father, is very reassuring. Not that, you know, anything against the women who want to be exotic dancers. God bless them. They're providing entertainment for somebody, but I don't want my daughter doing that, and neither does she. So maybe it was an educational experience bringing Lisa to Vegas to see what careers she doesn't want to do. So that was interesting listening to them, but it was very, very tired. So about 11 o'clock. Unfortunately, the reason I was so tired is because I'm still off on two time zones. Tuesday morning, I woke up at 4:20, which would be 6:20, normally wake-up time. Actually, that's sleeping in for Wisconsin time. And hunted around for some breakfast. I wandered on a very quiet Palazzo and Venetian looking for breakfast. Finally found something, came back up, and went back to sleep for like an hour to recharge my batteries because my head was buzzing from lack of sleep, not from the beer we had the night before. And went to iHeart Burgers, ate burgers, wonderful fries, but that place is a cardiac arrest waiting to happen. Delicious. You know the kind of burger joints. Good stuff. I had the Buffalo Burger called the Oregon Burger, I think it was. And just delicious, good company, good brew. Had a good time, but made Tuesday night very, very tiring. Well, Wednesday morning, I managed to sleep until actually 5:30. So we're getting a little closer. Went down and did my session. Had breakfast because it was a breakfast session. Got set up on time. Everybody had a good old time. Wonderful crowd, as I mentioned earlier. And 7:30, they went to the keynote. They came back up for a short rest. Talked to the girls, and then went and started working on the booth, got it all set up. But just as I had to, I went and got some lunch, because I got hot lunch at the faculty area, not the box lunch, in the expo hall. And the crowd was just coming in. They must have just got out with a whole bunch of sessions or something. Had lunch break. That's probably where they were going, is to get their box lunches, which drove the traffic up in the booth just as I was leaving. So I went and got lunch. Then when I was done with lunch, I had to come and man the HDI booth. They were playing kind of one of those carnival games where you have to shoot baskets in the basketball hoop. Well, my responsibility was there. And by the time I was done with that at 3 o'clock, the traffic had dwindled off. I felt kind of guilty about yesterday, but it was made up today because we had a lot of traffic, a lot of good demos, a lot of good questions and answers. And I think today I actually slept until about 6. Woohoo! I'm going to pay for that on the way back, though, because I got to get up nice and early for jiu-jitsu on Saturday and then karate, so I'm sure I'll be nice and dead for that. A lot of stuff happening. It's been very, very busy, as I mentioned. And then last night, spent some family time, Donna and Lisa and I, after I got done with manning the company booth, came up here, got changed. We went to Mystere at Treasure Island, which sounds easy enough. I said right across the street, but you know, you can't just cross the street in Vegas. You got to go down, around, up over the stairs, across the crossway, down through another, up the stairs. Oh, this one connects. And we got there. They'd purchased tickets in advance, so we walked right in about 30 minutes ahead of schedule. And if you haven't seen one of the Cirque du Soleil shows, this one was called Mystere, as I mentioned, the Cirque du Soleil, I'd seen some commercials and I knew there were acrobat stuff, trampolines and high wire and trapeze and whatnot. But I didn't know much more about that. They combine a little element of comedy. They had some comedy relief characters in there that would pop in and out and break up the show. And I wasn't prepared for the athleticism. Now, I know trapeze people and whatnot are very athletic, but there were two guys that came out during the show and very muscular. One was a little older. He looked like he could be late 40s, maybe early 50s. And the other, probably in his 30s. Whether they were related or not, I don't know. But, you know, huge pectoral muscles, huge traps, huge, you know, just built guys, really built guys. And they started off standing in center stage on this kind of dome that was maybe 20, 25 feet across and about 4 or 5 feet high. So it was kind of a shallow dome. And one was standing behind the other. The big guy, the older guy, raises up his arms above his head and kind of makes a platform with his palms. The other one reaches up, grabs his palms, and slowly raises himself up with no assistance, not climbing up the other guy, just by his arm strength alone, raises himself up and goes into a handstand. So they are one's hand standing on the other's outstretched hands above his head. And I went, wow, that was impressive. It was just an incredible feat of strength to watch them as they moved around and raised and lowered each other. But the one that really killed me was the larger guy was on his back with his feet up in the air, but not just in an L shape with his back flat on the ground. He was practically standing on his neck. So most of his back was off of the ground, feet in the air, and I think his elbows were down to help brace him up. I can't recall. And the other gentleman was doing a handstand on his feet that were straight up in the air. So they were stretched pretty way up high. And he manages to turn around, almost like one of those breakdancing moves, but in slow motion. He turned around so that he was on his stomach and still had the man doing a handstand on his feet, on the soles of his feet. Now, try to picture this. Here's a guy laying on his stomach with his legs still in the air with somebody doing a handstand on them. Incredible back strength. Then he lowers them, and I can just feel my hamstrings and my calves, and you can see his are straining through his Lycra spandex tights, whatever they were, because that's all the two guys were wearing. And as he lowered him slowly, I just went, oh my God, that looks painful. And then he raised him back up. So he did everything he just did, but he redid it. I thought, I am never complaining about the hamstring or calf or any workout in karate again. Okay, I might, but that's what I have to think of. The athleticism of a lot of these people was just amazing. They had one part of the show where they raised up this platform on four poles. Probably went up a good 15 feet high, which had a platform with another pole on top of it. And these people were climbing up and down the poles like monkeys. And they were inverting. And then they'd grab the pole and stick their bodies straight out like a flag in a strong wind. And then hang upside down with their legs wrapped around this thing. And then loosen the tension. So they were going head first down towards the floor. And then just at the last second, they'd stop. And then roll into a forward roll off of that. So it was just incredible. Amazing. Live music. On one side of the stage, raised up on sort of a little balcony, they had a bass and keyboard, and on the other side, they had drums. They had two female vocalists. It was in a way, it was kind of artsy-fartsy, very, very artistic, but that lent to it. And at first, I wasn't sure I was going to enjoy it, but really, really amazing show. If you have a chance, I've also heard that they have another show called O, which is very, very good, highly recommended, which I will hopefully catch at some point. And one called Ka, or K-A, I think it's spelled, that would be nice to see as well. But based on the only review I got, I should see O before I see Ka. So Mystere was very good. After Mystere, we hopped a cab up to Fremont Street, and Donna said, I think the cab drivers built Fremont Street purposely far, far away so that they could get $20 a crack. In 2008, Donna and I, when we were here for the podcast New Media Expo. We took the monorail up as far as we could and then hopped a shuttle. And while it was only a few bucks ahead, we had some transportation issues coming back that made it rather difficult. And we didn't want to relive that nightmare with Lisa in tow. And I was already dragging my butt from being on the floor all day. So this, it felt good to sit down at Mystere, but it was, wow, I just noticed the sign for the wind goes up and down. There's sort of a huge LCD screen that shows some of the things that are in their theaters, but there's a static part that says WYNN in sort of a handwritten script, and it slides up and down. There it goes down. Stuff in this town is just amazing. It's just amazing what they do. But anyway, we went up to Fremont Street and walked around. We had just caught the tail end of one of the shows. Fremont Street, for those of you who don't know or haven't been here, is sort of the old casino district. The Golden Nugget is there. Several other well-known casinos from the 50s and 60s are there. But they didn't tear them down. They, because they're old, like they did with the Sands and the Dune and some of those other places on the Strip to make way for bigger and better, they brought the tourists back into that area by covering it with an arched roof that has a giant LCD screen, or LED. I think it's LED, just lots of little diodes, thousands and thousands of them, for two blocks. It's ginormous, and as a result, it stretches from one side of this buildings to the other. Every hour on the top of the hour, and from, 7, 8 p.m. to midnight, they do a show. A lot of it's computer-generated. So we caught the tail end of the 9 o'clock show and hung around until 10 o'clock, and they did a tribute to Queen. So they had album covers flying around and lightning and computer graphics, and it sort of divided into two sections. What happens on block one mirrors on block two. So, you know, you see a Night at the Opera album cover flying towards each other and they meet in the middle. Or sometimes things fly the complete two blocks, but you'll have one going one way and one going the other way. So it's a neat effect. All the casino lights are off, all the street entertainers stop entertaining, all of the bands stop playing, so that you can enjoy this show, which is 5, 6, 7 minutes long. And then they turn the lights back on, business resumes as usual. Saxophone player starts playing his sax, the mime starts miming again, people walking around, whatnot. There's also a zip line that stretches one of those two blocks that you can take four people at a time, and they zip them. You go, what did it say? Several hundred yards at about 30 miles an hour for $20. We thought about it, but said, nah. After the light show was over, we went and found some food. We were supposed to go to Tony Roma's under recommendation of Donna's mom, but they said 45 to 50 minute wait. And I looked at it was one of those take a number things. The number was 11. They were calling like 87, 88. 89. We said, we don't want to wait. We'll go to someplace else. So there was a little Chinese buffet right around the corner that we had two platefuls that fed all three of us for, I don't know, a whopping $15 or something. It was one of the better deals in Vegas, actually. Wasn't the greatest Chinese food, but it filled us up. And after that, we were tired enough. We just said, let's go home. So we caught a cab back here. And I think I crashed in record time. I don't remember much. Basically, I put my pajamas on, hit the pillow, handed the remote to Donna. I said, are you still watching? She said, yeah. And that was the last thing I remember until I woke up Thursday. And went down, got some breakfast, talked to some friends, then came back up and got some rest while Donna and Lisa figured out their day. And then went back down, worked booth duty. So that's been the trip. It's been a load of stuff. Holy cow, I've been talking for 30 minutes. Time flies in Las Vegas. Something fierce. Didn't realize that was going on. So I appreciate you joining my ramble. Thank you for listening. As always, you know where to find the rest of the stuff. We're having a lot of fun with Technorama at chuckchat.com. And I'm working on some new episodes of Gmail Podcast. Hopefully, this isn't necessarily related, but Gmail Podcast has been on hiatus partly because there's no financial incentive to do it right now. The Citrix ad was pulled, back in September, I think. So I haven't really done a whole lot through the fall and winter months, but I've been gathering ideas and starting to write content again. So hopefully you'll see those again soon, as Citrix is supposed to fire up again in April. Actually, it's March 31st. I better ask about that, how that's going, so that I can get on that bandwagon, maybe generate a little income, and get back to you. So I am all packed, ready to go back tomorrow. I got my flight, as I mentioned, back tomorrow. And I will talk to you again next week in Chicago. 3 days for our new three-day admin training in downtown Chicago. Look forward to seeing PC Herring. And once again, maybe stop by the Apple Store. If they have one, I'll pick up an iPad 2. If not, I will wait and see if my friend can come through with his new dealership. But I don't want to wait forever on that. I'll ping him on that. Till next time, thanks a lot. Have fun. 101.